Establishment political consultants and corporate media pundits have seen their conventional wisdom analysis of the 2016 presidential campaign upended by the surprise appeal of Vermont U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders and real estate billionaire Donald Trump. Sanders, a self-described democratic socialist who passionately rails against growing economic inequality and challenges corporate power, has drawn unexpected enthusiasm to his campaign. Thus far, Sanders has drawn the largest crowds to his rallies of any candidate, Democrat or Republican. Reflecting his growing grassroots popularity, the independent Vermont senator has raised more than $15 million, made up mostly of contributions under $200. Meanwhile, the candidate that most commentators expect to win the Democratic nomination, former First Lady and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, has veered away from the centrist rhetoric of her failed 2008 campaign and adopted many of the same progressive positions as Sanders and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. In recent months, Clinton has forcefully talked about the need to reform the U.S. criminal justice system, gone further than President Obama in supporting policies that would shield undocumented immigrants from deportation, and discussed the need to impose new regulations on Wall Street. On the Republican side, billionaire real estate tycoon and reality TV star Donald Trump has shot to the top of many primary polls by launching ugly attacks against Mexican immigrants as murderers and rapists as he viciously insults his 15 fellow Republican candidates. The GOP establishment seems frightened about Trump's popularity, and what many observers maintain is a culture of hate and fear cultivated within the party over recent decades. Your reporter spoke with citizen activist, author, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader, who assesses the opportunities for promoting a progressive agenda in the 2016 election campaign.
Starting with Bernie Sanders, he is drawing large crowds. I drew large crowds. That's only the first step, and often it's seen by a candidate as the last step. We filled Madison Square Garden with almost 20,000 people. 1,500 of them walked across the street and registered to vote. The rest just went back home. There is no innovation in how do you energize a large audience that is clapping and shouting rah-rah to your speech the day after and the day after that. He risks giving the same speech without localizing it and regionalizing it depending on where he is. And he's got to have people in those large audiences who basically start signing people up. They don't even get their names. He had 10,000 in front of the state legislature in Madison, Wisconsin. Where are their names? You got to pass the bucket to raise money. You've got to get them to pledge time. Candidates have to have hour raisers, time raisers, not just money raisers. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels with the same amateur progressive campaigns that have been going on for over 125 years. You know, I've seen it all before, and I've told Jill Stein, I said, Jill, you know, if you run as the Green Party presidential nominee, it's going to be the same old, same old. You're going to be blocked from the debates. You're not going to be able to raise much money. You'll get modest audiences here and there, and they'll all drift away and say, wasn't that great? Jill Stein talking about full Medicare for all, an MD graduate from Harvard Law School. That's the kind of political leader we want. But nothing happens. Now, the one thing that has changed is that Bernie's already raised over $15 million, Bernie Sanders, which means he's on track to raise well over $50 million, which means if he knows how to spend it, to get a multiplier effect out of the crowds that he's gathering and attracting, he can be a very significant force. But I don't see his advisors being that innovative, and I think there's a certain satiety among progressives. Wow, you know, 12,000 people in Phoenix, you know, and they, instead of being the beginning of the rumble, it's, oh, look, we did 12,000 in Phoenix. Let's go to Sacramento and see if we can increase it.
What are the prospects that Bernie Sanders or any other progressive candidate can use their time barnstorming the country for votes in an election Can that be translated into building a political movement apart from the campaign, a movement that will outlive the campaign and, you know, hold Congress and the president to account for what they said when they were running for office?
Yes, I think if Bernie Sanders runs with the people, that means you go through Tennessee and Kentucky and you've got progressive groups trying to do something. You connect with them. If you're just going to give your national criticize Wall Street, criticize corruption, criticize consumer abuse, environment, you're not going to do that. You have to connect with the local groups, give them visibility. So when you have those big crowds, you put them on the stage. You have them say a few words. You have sign-up sheets for them. So when you leave town, they got more people. And now we tried to do that. The problem is that we had to spend all our resources and time just to get on ballots because we were an independent or third-party candidate. Bernie Sanders doesn't have to do that. He's going to be on the ballot automatically because he's registering as a Democrat. So he's got a lot of freedom now to connect with local groups, local movements who are starved for media, starved for new members, new energies. And when he sweeps through town, he's got to leave behind people who connect with all of these groups. Then you've got a movement. Otherwise, all you have is a speech that gets a lot of rah-rahs. So the question is whether he's got good advisors who know how to organize, who know how to avoid overexhausting him with too many events, and who know how to leave organizers behind to pick up on the enthusiasm and focus it when Bernie's off to the next campaign stop.
That was citizen activist, democracy advocate, and four-time independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader, whose newest book is titled Return to Sender, Unanswered Letters to the President, 2001 to 2015. Find more analysis on the 2016 presidential campaign by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.